the ministry of encouragement. Flip over to Hebrews 3 as you do that. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for the worship. God, thank you for the time to just get in your presence and exalt the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for our special visitors here tonight that are here for the first time. Bless them, Lord. Bless those who are tuning in through Facebook and those who will listen to the recordings. Lord, we just ask that your word would have powerful impact. Lord, despite me, have your way, God. Let your word implant into our hearts, Lord, and make us more like Jesus tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, I did want to announce a prophetic ministry. That was very prophetic of you to know that I wanted to make that announcement. We will. That's why we put you in this position, because you are very prophetic. Yes, there is prophetic ministry after the sermon. So if you would like to receive the ministry of encouragement, please see Ken and Holly right after the message. Did I do good?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. And they will encourage you. So grateful for those even seemingly just simple times of prophetic ministry. I've gotten so many testimonies that people got words that were like truly like the Lord in those times. So thank you. Keep going on that. Super cool. About 3 weeks ago, I shared during the prophetic gathering we called the Here Conference, I shared what I felt like God was saying to the region. And I felt like the number one thing he was highlighting to me to share with, I mean, I just felt like it was a word for the city, was to overcome disillusionment. And that God is asking his church to throw off any spiritual jadedness at all. Just throw it off. Anything that has caused us to draw back in our walk with the Lord. People who have maybe let us down, or events that have happened that we thought were going to go one way and they went a different way, to just move through that and not get stuck in disillusionment. And that was my exhortation a few weeks ago, and I've been sharing every week since then what I think are like helpful follow-ups, I'm hoping, different themes to help us kind of get that. So I shared what I felt like the Lord was saying to our house of prayer. I shared a message on forgiveness. And tonight I want to share about encouragement. Because one of the ways we break free of just kind of spiritual funkiness is we encourage each other. And even when we're in a funk, we step out of it to build others up. And sometimes that breaks us out of it. But I wanted to really hit that tonight. And that's one of the reasons why I'm doing that, is just I'm trying to stay on a theme to help us to overcome that easy tendency to just get like, ah, man, it didn't work out like I thought, and so hurt me, and I'm just going to draw back. And it's very easy to do that. And the Lord says, don't draw back. Continue to press fervently to know me and to do what you're called to do, whatever it is. The ultimate will of God is, or to say it a different way, whatever God has told you to do, that's the most spiritual thing you can be doing right now. So just give your whole heart to whatever it is he's called you to do and just keep going. I got a few definitions that I wrote down. Again, I scribble these so fast because my notes wouldn't print, but so I'm hoping I can read them. But the dictionary, Brother Noah Webster, I actually consulted the Noah Webster Dictionary. Got a big old, about that thick there on my desk. He says encouragement is the act of giving courage or confidence or success, incitement to action or to practice, incentive, that which serves to incite, support, promote, or advance as favor, countenance, rewards, profit. He says the definition of an encourager is one who encourages, incites, or stimulates to action. One who supplies incitements either by counsel, reward, or means of execution. I thought those were really good. Now I want to just share a few verses here that are the scriptural basis for the ministry of encouragement. I'm going to try to find a book in the Bible while preaching, which is like not easy. They move when you're preaching. If you ever share a message and try to find the book of the Bible you're preaching from in front of people, it is elusive. But Hebrews 3:12-13, I've actually been in the book of Hebrews during my devotional times, and I just love the book of Hebrews. It's just so great. And verse 12, the author of Hebrews says this. He says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." I mean, that's like, okay, not very encouraging. "Beware, brothers and sisters in Christ, lest your heart becomes evil and you get rooted in unbelief and you actually walk away from God." That's what he's essentially saying. And he says, "So that you don't do that, do this. Exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." I think that's interesting. The author of Hebrews is saying, brothers and sisters, I want you to be warned. It's possible for your heart to become evil over time and for you to walk away from God. And the way that you won't do that, exhort one another. Exhort one another. And then he puts this word in. It's one of the few things that the Bible itself says, do this every day. Many things the Bible tells us to do or suggests that we do or suggests we don't do, but there are very few instances where the Bible itself, the inspired Word of God, says do this every single day. And if the Bible says it, it's like, oh my. And I definitely don't do this every day. I'm trying to grow in it and do it more. But it says, exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily while it's today. It's like the author saying, you know, get in the habit of doing this every day and start today. Like tonight, think of someone that you could exhort through your words. We need to think more about people in terms of how do we build them up with our words? How do we strengthen them? How do we incite people to good works? How do we inspire people with our words to do the will of God and to call them to do the highest thing they're made for? Because it's clear here, we go through things and we harden easily. Our hearts easily harden. We become embittered. And the author suggests that without exhortation, we become deceived in our sinfulness. I mean, it's pretty intense language, actually. And the more I meditate on the power of encouragement, the more I'm like, man, I try to encourage people, but I'm not connected to it like this. This is a pretty intense level. Now, if you fast forward here 7 chapters to Hebrews 10, and there I went and lost the book of Hebrews. There it went that easily. So you go from Hebrews 3, and it's almost like he says, guys, I'm going to repeat myself a few chapters later because you already forgot what I just said. I mean, this is a pretty deep theological letter that we have here, and the author is all over the place. And he says in chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, almost to suggest, in case you forgot my exhortation in chapter 3, I'll say it again. In verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Then he goes on in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And then he tags this on. I mean, there's so much theology in these two verses. He tags this on, and do it even more the closer to Jesus' return. He says, make sure you keep gathering. Gather is the church. Don't give up on that, as some do. And exhort each other and do it more and more when you know Jesus' return is closer. And here's the truth of it, is this was written 2,000 years ago, give or take. So the author of Hebrews is telling an audience 2,000 years ago, roughly, exhort each other, gather together, and the closer Jesus gets to returning, do it all the more. And here we are 2,000 years later. And I can kind of hear the author of Hebrews, his voice echoing, it's 2,000 years closer, surely you're going to need to exhort one another. I mean, if we just think about the environment we're in 2017, the rhetoric that is just out there and just constantly churning is so incredibly negative. I mean, it's just unfathomable. I mean, and we need to engage the chatter. We have to engage our society, but it is just deeply toxic right now. I mean, you can't say anything before someone is like, I am so offended by that. I cannot believe you. Oh, my goodness. And it just, the closer we get, it's only going to get more intense. And so the answer, according to the author of Hebrews, according to the inspired Word of God, the Holy Spirit essentially saying, encourage each other. And the closer it gets to Jesus returning in the sky, you're going to need to exhort each other. Now, if we go to, I don't know if I got that right here. The author of Hebrews says, in case you didn't get that lesson, I said it in chapter 3, I said it in chapter 10, but let's go over to chapter 12. I'm going to say it one more time. He says it this way. It's almost like he's building into like a crescendo of revelation. You should do it every day. Keep exhorting one another. The more you see Jesus getting closer and closer. And in verse 3, he says, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. It's almost like he's saying, look, I get it. We're supposed to encourage one another. We're supposed to exhort one another. But you're going to get discouraged. And when you do, think about Jesus. Think about what he went through to ransom you. And so whatever you're going through, the author of Hebrews is saying, if you're discouraged, if you're weary, think about him. Think about what Jesus went through. Think about what he suffered. Gain some perspective. Know that if he went through things, we'll go through things. The servant is not greater than the master. We're going to go through things. But connect to what he did for us. Think about him. Consider him. I love that exhortation. Consider him who endured such hostility. If the Son of God was crucified, if the most perfect man ever to live was hated, and he went through that and endured that, surely we can go through what we're going through and go through it victoriously. I was meditating on this morning, and I thought to myself, it's interesting, Jesus, and I think it's Matthew 8 or Matthew 10, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. There's a coming to Jesus when we're weary. And the author of Hebrews says there's a considering him to keep us from being weary and discouraged. So if you're weary, come to him. If you're discouraged, consider him. The answer is him. Draw near to him. Think of him. Have him on your mind. And the power of weariness and discouragement can lift. I know that sounds trite, but it's actually real. The answer is being near him. Oh my goodness, I always think back to Sister Mary and Martha. I those words are so real to me. When I get busy and I'm disconnected from God, I get bothered by everything. And then I hear Jesus saying, oh, Martha, Martha, you're bothered by many things. Choose what Mary chose. That's the one thing needed. Oh, we need to choose what Mary chose, that one thing. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians 14. I forgot we were even doing prophetic ministry tonight, but I had this in the notes. So the author of Hebrews says it three times. Paul says it many times. I just have one of them written down. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3 and 4. It says, he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. I wish you all spoke... I'm sorry, did I skip one? Oh, yep, that's verse 4 I skipped over. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. And my point in sharing these passages is that as we grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, as we grow in prophetic gifts, Paul says we should be encouraging people. If the result of our ministry isn't people being built up and encouraged, we might not be as prophetic as we think we are. Now, I believe that as we grow in our spirituality, as we grow in our anointing, or however you want to call it, people who encounter us should be built up, strengthened, exhorted, motivated, incited to do what God's calling them to do. Lord, help us to encourage. I wanted to put a little bit of scriptural basis there before I went on to my list of practical ways to grow in encouragement. I only have 100 of them, so we'll... No. Just about 10 or 11. I could do the 100-point version if you... No, just kidding. I just like to freak at least someone out once in a while. I did a cell group one time where I preached like 3 hours and no one told me until it was really bad. And then I became a little more self-aware that night that I wasn't God's gift to people and I needed to keep my messages way shorter. We all grow and learn, don't we? I passed the two-hour mark and I was getting looks and I didn't know at that point in life what those meant yet. So, but I do like to freak people out and just kind of think back and go, wow, hopefully I've grown since then. So there's much in the Bible about exhorting people. It's not just like a modern phenomenon. Let's be happy and encourage each other. It's all over the Bible. It really is biblical to be joyful and built up and strengthened. And we actually overcome Satan and sin when we're joyous and encouraged. Now, no one's going to go through life completely floating on a cloud, you know, so happy all the time. We're going to go through trials. But there can be an inward disposition of edification that helps us kind of weather the storms and the difficulties. We need to keep that in mind. Sometimes when we're down, downcast, discouraged, we need to learn what to do. And King David said he encouraged himself in the Lord. There's certain people who can do that. Others, you need to pick up the phone and say, I'm downcast. Or you need to honestly reach out and get counseling and help work through the thing that's always wearying you. Or you need to do it. You need to take that step and get to a place where there's joy and there's encouragement again. Now, no one's going to be happy all day, every day. I just want to make that very clear. But we should be built up. I want to encourage you with these practical ways to become an encourager. And here's the thing. I'm kind of motivated to encourage people, but I'm still really weak at it. I really want to grow at it. But others, they just don't even think of it at all. And that's just their personality. They don't really think to encourage people. And they kind of make it like this. It's like, well, you're the encouraging type and I'm not, so you do your thing. And I don't think the Bible makes it like that. I think the Bible makes it clear we're all to grow in this. Some just are more natural at it, and others need to work at it a little more. Just like I need to work on being more sensitive and merciful and a lot of things like that. Some things don't come natural to me. My wife reminds me of many of the things I need to grow in. The married men said yes and amen. Those who will be married, you will learn. So practical ways to grow in encouraging others. Number one, put time on your weekly calendar. Encourage people. 15 minutes. Just send out text messages. Write notes. Pick up the phone. Send a quick email. Pray that you would get a word for someone to give to them and deliver it, you know, whenever you see them or whatever. But if this doesn't come natural to you, seriously put time on your calendar. Maybe you can, you know, okay, Monday mornings, I'm going to encourage people. Here's what I try to do. I try to make it like this. If I'm generally encouraged and I'm down, I bet a whole bunch of other people are really down. You know, I'm not saying that's a rule. I'm just saying if I'm weary and discouraged, I bet there's a lot more people out there that are really weary and discouraged. And I try to text 7 or 10 or 12 people, and I just think of them off the top of my head. I try not to get real wacky spiritual about it, but I just try to, when I'm kind of in that, and you know, Monday mornings, I'm in that a lot. I actually, Monday mornings is a good time to encourage people. That's a tough, man. God gave us Friday, Saturday, and Sunday knowing we're going to need that for Monday morning. This is just to balance it out. That's my thought on it. But put time on your weekly calendar to encourage people. And don't be religious about it. I mean, I'm just saying this is an idea. Maybe write a sticky note, encourage people this week, something like that. It's amazing when you actually text someone, I really sense the call of God on your life. Bless you today, brother. When you do that, it helps your heart get encouraged as well. In my experience, the more I point the arrow toward people and try to encourage them, it really affects my inner life, and I get encouraged. And so if I'm sending you encouragements, it could very likely be that I'm trying to get out of my discouragement, and so I'm trying to encourage you. Many times that's what I'm doing, actually. I'm like, oh, man, I'm dragging today. All right, if large coffee didn't do it, I'm going to have to just fire away on encouragements, and hopefully it connects. So that's number one, put time on your calendar. Number two, just pray. Pray, God, make me an encouragement to the body of Christ. When people encounter me, let them encounter Jesus. Let them be profoundly impacted by my life. Pray radical stuff. When people interact with me, they just walk by me, let them be filled with your Spirit. Stuff like that. Just pray crazy prayers. But I one of my goals in life, I mean, one of my big goals is that I would encourage the church to go for God. That's like one of my big time prayers, is that what my ministry, my life would just really inspire and encourage people. And I've got that on a bunch of prayer lists. And that's that. I mean, I just believe in building up the church, and I want to keep doing that. And so I pray that a lot. And I would encourage you to pray to be like the in the Bible, I forget who it was. There's the sons of thunder, the sons of encouragement. Wouldn't it be cool to be named in the Bible the Son of Thunder? It's like a wrestling name or something. That was weird. Okay. Number three. I just think, how cool would it be to be in the eternal Word of God, the Son of Thunder? Wow. Like, what's the title over your life? And then there's the other side of that, though. There's the guy who left Paul, and Paul said, I think his name was like Demas or somebody. He says, Demas left me because he loved the world. And that's in the eternal Word of God. I'm like, whoa, what a mistake. Now, every time we see this guy, like, that's the guy that loved the world, and don't want to be that guy. Make me the Son of Thunder guy. Number three, this is really cool. Spend time reading passages in the Bible where God encourages people. Or Jesus encourages Nathaniel. Hey, I saw you under the tree. There's no deceit in you. How encouraging. Like if Jesus just told you that. So read passages where God says to Gideon, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. Really? Me? You know, my life? Like, read those stories and go, that's what God's like? Cool. And then you end up doing that to other people. Spend time reading those passages where God encourages people, or where Paul encourages people, or the apostles encourage one another. There's a lot of it going on. Number four, I've just got 10 or 11. Oh, wait. No, I've got... No. Little spirit of humor up here. Pardon me. Number four, how to grow in encouragement, think about the happiness of God. There's a good meditation for your next quiet time. Ponder the happiness of God. Why are so many people weary and discouraged? They think God's mad at them for something they did. Could have been weeks or months or years ago. I assure you, God is so in love with you. And He's really in love with people. He's not actually mad at the church. He's in love with the church. How do we know that? He shed His blood for the church. Someone that's that in love doesn't easily get angered. God is, the Bible says, very slow to anger, quick to be merciful. Think about how happy God is with you and others, and your whole disposition changes, and you end up being a conduit of encouragement. I'm going through Tozer's Knowledge of the Holy again, and every page is just like, oh my goodness, God, I barely know you. Wow, you're so awesome. But imagine just thinking about God's happiness, just how happy He is. And He's so beyond us, guys. He so already knows how it all ends. He's awesome. Okay, that was a whole message in and of itself. I got to move on. Number five. This is a big one. Don't allow feelings of discouragement to keep you from encouraging others. Sometimes we say, well, I'm a little down. Hope I get through the day. Don't feel like your negative feelings somehow dictate what you can or cannot do. God's still God no matter what you feel like or I feel like. I mean, God can still powerfully change someone's life no matter what we're going through. And when we get that, it's like, okay, I feel horrible. I'm going to just text someone. That could like literally change their life. Because God can still move on that. It's not about, like, I can feel horrible and God can have His way in my preaching or the prayer line or at home saying something to my kids or my spouse. It just has very little to do with us, but we just say it and then God moves on it. So don't, sometimes we're like, oh, I'm having a rough week. You know, maybe next week God will use me. Just, that's not true. It's a lie. God wants to use you right tonight, no matter what you feel like, and tomorrow, no matter what you feel like, before or after coffee. I mean, He can use you. That's debatable, but thank you for humoring me. Okay. Number six, I didn't write anything down for number six. It'll be on the website later. Number seven, help others. I'm sorry, all there is six and a scratched thing, so I... Yes, yes, this is true. There is. We skipped one. The message will be faster, praise God. Okay, help me, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. This applies to this very point here that we just made. Help others going through difficulty rightly interpret the trial. How about that? I know we all like Job's friends in our life when we're going through difficulty. Job couldn't handle it. Everybody else wants... No, nobody wants Job's friends when they're going through difficulty. Everybody know who Job's friends are? When you're going through like the worst trial in your life, they're the ones that show up to tell you why it's all happening, how much they know, and on and on and on, and they're wrong anyways. I think it's very wise and it's encouraging when we can go, bro, you know what? I don't fully understand why XYZ is happening, but let's remember God's going to get glory out of this. He's going to turn it for good. Let's just share the Bible and encourage each other, and let's not try to make big statements like we get everything. I've been through a number of those things personally, and I've observed those things, and they always just wound people. When it's like, well, all of a sudden we're Eliphaz, we come out of nowhere and we know everything and we know exactly why you're going through this. It's because of this, and I know. And it's just like, man, let's just help others when they're in their trial, and let's be sensitive to them. And number 8's just kind of like this, actually. It's how do we encourage people? We listen to them when they're in their pain. Oh my, if we could grow in compassion. I mean, I think the compassion of Jesus is just so amazing. He lets Lazarus die intentionally, and he goes to raise him from the dead, and he knows he's going to raise them from the dead, but before he does that, he weeps with everybody. All the people run out to him and say, Lazarus! If you would have been, or they didn't say Lazarus, they said, Jesus, if you would have been here, none of this would have happened. And Jesus was like, actually, you're right. I had to listen to the Father. I had to let this all happen because it was God's will. But it says, there's the shortest verse in the whole Bible, the one time where it says Jesus wept. He wept knowing what was going to happen. I think that's profound. If Jesus can weep with broken people knowing he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, man, we just need to listen to people in their pain and sometimes just offer our listening ear. James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. I mean, I really need to grow in that. We all need to grow in that. But people especially who are in severe pain, we just listen. Can I do anything? And we offer our compassion, we offer our care. And we don't come up with big statements. You know, we don't turn into Job's friends and go, oh, I know why you have boils all over your body, Job. It's because of this sin and that sin. And blah, blah, blah. It just doesn't help. I've heard some crazy stories of people who meant well, but just really were off because they turned into Job's friends in someone's most painful season. When someone needs the love of Christ, let's just be compassionate. Let's care for people. Number 9. I love this. I love this whole idea is how do we encourage people? Look for the people on the back row. Look for those who just seem... Yeah, say hi to Chad on your way. No. You know what I mean by the back row, those who kind of snuck in. I hope no one sees me. I'm going to sneak out. The folks that they just need someone to talk to them. The folks on the back row, those who maybe seem downcast. I was recently at IHOP KC a couple months ago. And one of the things I love to do when I visit there is just take my little daughter or whoever's small enough to be in the stroller and I just cart them around the prayer room. And I just pray, Lord, speak to me. I want to encourage people. And so I get in the habit of doing that every time I go there. And I was looking for people on the back row who looked downcast. I was just looking for them. And I would encourage you to think this way. Don't like go to church and, you know, just kind of slip in and slip out. Like really go to the next level. Go the extra mile. Look for people who need a touch from God. Because you might be the Jesus they need. I mean, the Jesus in you might be trying to get through to some people. So I'm carting around and I see a downcast young gal and I'm like, okay, Lord, just give me a download. I want to encourage. She just is on the back row and looks down from what I could perceive. I mean, maybe she wasn't, but just looked that way. And so I went over eventually because I thought I had something from the Lord and I said, hi, my name's Derek. You know, just felt like I was supposed to share this with you. I share about how she's going to be full of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And I told her, I feel like the Lord is highlighting joy to you. He's going to fill you with joy. And I'm going on and on. You know, joy's coming in the morning. And then she says to me, thank you. Yeah, I just had a miscarriage. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. You know, I kind of feel all of a sudden like, I hope I didn't come across wrong. But I felt like the Lord was speaking to me, so I said, you know, I'm like really sorry to hear that. I'm so sorry. I just, that's horrifying. I just don't know how to even say anything right now. But maybe the Lord's trying to give you perspective that, you know, the joy is going to come back one day. And I kid you not, this turned into a ministry thing. My wife Mandy ended up coming over, and they ministered together. Then we talked again. And I'm telling you, this shifted something in her life. She told me, she's like, I came in here hoping to like hear from God and meet with God. And I was hoping something would happen. And I was down. And I just really feel like God saw me and met me. I'm just like, oh my gosh, that is like so profound. Like she's like, I've led worship here before, but now I go to a different church and I came to the prayer room just because I needed God. Can you imagine like going, like thinking that and going there and then like a prophetic word coming like that? And all I did was avail myself. I didn't get any kind of special revelation. It was just an impression I got and I stepped through. And it's like, man, if we try instead of just slip in and slip out and always just thinking of us and ourselves and our pain and all that, what if we opened our eyes to the people in the back row, the hurt? What if we were like the conduit of encouragement to people? I mean, I don't know who this gal was. I don't know if I'll ever see her again. That's not the point. It's just like what God wanted to do, it happened. And God met her in a painful moment. She came for God to touch her, and that's what happened. I mean, crazy. So, and I've seen things like that happen many times. And so I want to encourage us to look for those people in the back row, look for those who look down. And sometimes you're not going to get a prophetic word. Sometimes they need a hug. Sometimes they just need you to talk to them, which goes into number 10 here. Paul in Romans 16 says, greet this person, greet that person, greet this person. The whole chapter is greet, 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 greet. And my kind of running joke is you know how dull we are as Christians when the Bible has to tell us to greet one another. Make sure you say hello to each other. It's like how elementary, but we don't do it. I want us to grow in the anointing of saying hello to each other. The apostolic anointing of saying, how are you doing, Linda? Imagine flowing in the spiritual gift of greeting each other. But Paul was really good at it. Sometimes we just need to acknowledge those who are around us. I have another running joke. And it goes like this. There are just, I try to greet people like crazy and acknowledge them and say hi to them because I feel like it makes them feel valued. I feel like it encourages them. And it's weird to just walk by people anyway. And when I'm like, literally, if I lived in like New York City, I'd have trouble. If I was like walking down the street, I'd be weird for sure. This is definitely, you know, I grew up in a certain culture. But the Bible does say greet each other. And so I tried to do this. But when I just intentionally turn it off just to see what happens, it's really funny. Because people expect me to say hi to them because I do it so much. And when I don't, it's like, geez, Derek, are you okay? Like, everything okay, bro? It's like, I just wanted you to say hi once, that's all. You know? But greet one another. Be a greeter. Be a person that acknowledges the existence of people around you. It actually like lifts their spirit. And I know there's going to be people who, their whole life, they won't be the greeter type of person. That's fine. The Bible does say it, though. I'm going to try to be a greeter. I'm going to try to be like Paul. He just said greet a bunch of people. So anyway, acknowledge those around you. It encourages them. Doesn't it encourage you when you walk into a place and someone acknowledges that you come in? That's cool. All right. It's interesting. There's been a number of people who have come in here, and I just do me. I just, you know, I'm just me, and I'll say hi to them. I've gotten feedback many times that they're like, man, I really like that prayer room you got going there because, like, I walked in and people said hi to me. I'm like, are you saying that doesn't happen other places? Like, I'm thinking, but it's so true. We get so used to running the machine of church and ministry, we don't even think about each other sometimes. It's just like, yeah, we do this and we do that, and then we close it, and then we redo it the next week, and we do this and we do that, and we just shut it down and restart. And it's like this machine, and God goes, man, talk to each other and greet each other and say hi and what's up and all that. And it makes a difference. It seems like it's common sense, but it's not common sense apparently. It's in the Bible. Here's another one to encourage people. Tell people you believe in them. Tell people you're proud of them. Parents, tell your kids, I'm proud of you. Tell your coworkers, I believe you can do that. Or tell people in ministry, you're great at that. I mean, encourage, just literally, just straight up, tell people they're valuable. I mean, I read something today in a John Maxwell leadership book. So much of life is so obvious, but we just need to hear it. But it was basically this: if people feel appreciated, they'll do way more. It's like, of course. But when John Maxwell says it, it's like really true, I guess, you know. But when you appreciate people and you say that you appreciate them, they want to move the world for you. They want to do everything. When people don't feel appreciated, they're discouraged, they underperform, and they do nothing. So anyway, we want to grow as ministers of encouragement. We want to do the ministry of encouragement well. So there's some Bible on that. There's some practical ways to grow in encouragement. And I'll just end there. Amen. And we've got time for a little bit of... Okay, 11 minutes. If there are any questions, I always do questions and answers. So if there's anything that I confused you about, go ahead. Yes. Is it still in the Bible? Next week's sermon is the doctrine of the holy kiss. You're flowing in the prophetic again. Someone's got to broach that topic.
Right.
I'm willing to be unpopular. We've already got a cross reference in Psalms here. All right. Go ahead with your second question. Absolutely. Amen. Yes. I think 90% of the things I do, I'm not trying to be spiritual or prophetic. And then people are like, man, that was the Lord. You know, it's just like saying hi, giving what I'm saying, what I feel. I mean, guys, even acknowledging someone might be prophetic. We just don't even know it. We just felt led to do it. But certainly, bro. We don't always have to feel inspired to encourage people. But I think if we do become prophetic, we will be encouraged. So I would just say you have like total license to encourage. And many times it will end up being like what God's trying to get through to them. On average, I text people like 27 times more than people text me. Maybe that's an exaggeration. I will text some people and never get a response. But when they do, they'll say, oh my gosh, the last few times you've texted me has been so good. You know, and so I am aware there's like, I'll really sometimes, you know, feel like I'm, you know, not even getting a response. But then it'll feel, you know, sometimes they'll make it sound like it was worth it, you know. So I would just encourage. Yeah. Third question. You might know, out of ink? Out of ink?
Maybe.
Okay, all right. He's a prophet. Yes, sir.
There's a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Uh-huh.
And it says something about, like, at one point, the prophetic ministry will pass away.
Yes. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 13. For now we know in part. How does it go? I'm going to have to look that up. I know what scripture you're referencing. So your question is kind of like, what does it mean? 1 Corinthians 13:9. I happen to be on that chapter. Verse 8. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So your question is, what does that mean? I don't fully know what that means. All I can say about that is that when we die and go to heaven, and when we receive our glorified, perfect body, we're going to have an ability to know things that is so far beyond right now. I don't think we become omniscient. I think we'll still learn forever. But the process of just little bits of information is going to go to like massive understanding one day. And so I don't, that's a deep passage to me. And so I just... True. I haven't fully worked through that. I read that and I go, wow. So I just, at a basic level, I know when we are in heaven, we're going to be given a glorified body at some point. And we will have the full capacity of the human body as he intended it before sin ever came.
We pray like on earth as it is in heaven.
Right. Say that again now. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Okay. Is what happening first? Like Jesus coming back? Well, that depends. If we die before the return of the Lord, we will be in, and I went through, I did a whole series on Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven, to kind of, it's a sort of a long answer. If we die and go to heaven, we're still awaiting the fullness of the kingdom to come. There's a whole bunch of saints in heaven right now that are still waiting for and praying for Jesus' return. Well, that's totally up to the Lord. I mean, I'm like, whatever. I mean, let me say it this way, Isaac. There is going to be a generation that does not die. And they will see Jesus return, and they will be caught up into the air. And so we're getting into some deep territory here.
Is that this generation?
I don't know. It could be. I'm going to give my heart as if it is, and I'm going to train my kids as if it is. But there is a clear point. There will be an Enoch generation who walk with God and then are suddenly raptured. And so there's going to be a lot of people who die, and there's going to be a lot of people who don't die. But, yeah, and I've done a whole lot. We're not a disembodied spirit in heaven when we die. We have some kind of physical body. Jesus demonstrated that. But we're going to get a glorified body. I mean, there's going to be no bad Monday mornings. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. And there will be food. There will be feasting. There will be parties. There will be civilization. It's going to be cool. And we will be reconnected with saints of old, and we'll be able to talk to Paul. And I mean, but God's going to be there. So any other questions, thoughts? Yes, Kelsey.
So you mentioned that encouragement is something that the Bible directly tells us to do daily, and that is one of the few things. But I was trying to think of what some of the other things would be. And the only thing that I could think of is like praying without ceasing.
Mm. I don't know right now. Okay. Offhand, I don't know.
I just wondered if you had that in mind.
No. I've searched. I mean, there's like things that, yeah, we should love, like, but where it actually says do this every day or some variation of that, I can't think of any.
It'd be interesting to like compose a list, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, that would be an amazing study that I should do. If you do it, send me your notes.
Okay.
Yes. Ellie.
I won't sleep now tonight trying to think of that.
It's a cool thought.
Paul that said, I die daily.
Ooh.
Like,
ooh.
Crucify the flesh.
Come on. There you go. There you go. When I was younger, I was so fascinated by this idea of doing the will of God, and I still am, So I went to the Bible, and I did a study on every time the Bible says, this is the will of God. And there's like four verses in the Bible where it says, this is the will of God. It's like, oh my gosh, there it is. That, and that. If I do those, I'm doing the will of God. You know, so I mean, it's like so cool when the Bible just says it so clear. And so where it says like, do this every day, it doesn't just imply it, it says it. It's like, that's got to be so significant. So yeah, maybe we'll do a Bible study on what the Bible says to do every day. Maybe it's encouraging us to... Okay, bad joke. All right, and if after we do Q&A, you can head down for prophetic and we'll do a little more worship. Any other questions, thoughts? There's no bad question. Okay, one more.
Have you always been as encouraging as you are now? Seriously, I don't know you from of old, but you are one of the most encouraging.
As long as I've known him, which is about 14 years. Yes, I love him.
I don't roll out of bed in the morning going, I'm so encouraging, oh my gosh. You know, I don't think of that often. People tell me that, and I kind of go, I rebel against that. You can't define me, you know. But I've kind of admitted that I am leaning that direction. So, honestly, before I knew the Lord, I was just your average, whimsical, aimless kid. And Jesus met me and has changed me. And I hope I can encourage people. I really hope at the end of my life I encouraged people to love God, and I want to grow in it. So hopefully when you see me years from now, I'm like even more encouraging. But I live in my own skin. I just feel so blah so much. So thank you for telling me you think I'm encouraging. I hope I am. Thank you. Okay, any other affirmations you want to say to me, anyone? Oh, thank you. Yes. Thank you. Okay. Well, should we do a little more worship here? And then if anybody wants encouragement, there's a team downstairs that's going to minister, so feel free. Brother Glenn, why don't we just plan on going till 8:30-ish? And I think we'll, if that's okay. Yeah, let's just, if you want to, you know, go hang out downstairs, cool. If you want to get ministry, otherwise, we'll just turn this back into the prayer room for a brief time. Glenn's going to release an encouraging atmosphere. And so, Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that it calls us higher to be those who exhort daily. I pray, Lord, that you would grow us in this. I pray that we would be those that build the church, that edify one another, that exhort one another, that incite one another to love and good works. I pray every single person who is gathered here this evening and those who are tuning in on Facebook Live, those who are listening to this recording, that you would release a spirit of encouragement upon their hearts. I pray that you'd break the powers of disillusionment. I pray that you would lift off any heavy burden or weariness or jadedness. And I'm asking for you to exhort the body of Christ right now. Lord, we bless the church of Jesus Christ. We bless the church. We bless the brethren. We bless our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. Let them be built up. Let the church in this region be mighty in the Lord. Oh, have your way, Father. We love you tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to meet us in this place as we worship and as we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we ask those who are ministering downstairs, bless the prophetic ministry. Amen.